Thank the Lord for his love and his mercies to me and his blessings that he's bestowed on my life. I give it to him and I say amen to whatever his will is. I would like to talk a little bit about the value of truth this afternoon. I heard it mentioned a lot in prayer about truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think it's important for us to consider how important truth is, and also how we should respond to it when we hear truth. May it ever grow. May it ever cause us to be successful in our walk with the Lord. When I was younger, I used to go through coins a lot, save old coins. I have a collection of some coins at home. If I put a penny, a bright, shiny penny in your hand, say, minted this year, 2018, and one hand, and then I put another penny in your other hand, kind of tainted, kind of faded, but on that penny it says 2000 or 1909 SVDB. Now, which one do you think would be the most valuable penny in your hand? For those that may not know, the 1909 SVDB, back about 30 years ago, was probably worth $300 or $400. Now it's probably worth well over $1,000 for what? One penny. One penny. All because it has 1909S VDB. VDB stood for the name Victor D. Brenner. He designed the coin. It was a change from the Indian head coin. But the reason why it is so valuable is because it's rare. They didn't make very many of them. They didn't make too many 1909. They made a lot of 1909 S's. I got one of them. But I don't have a 1909 SVDB. It's valuable because they didn't make very many. It's a rare coin. And because they put a value on it. They decided this is what it's worth and what it's going to cost if you want to buy one. God put a great value on his word. He really did. He gave you and I his son. His son came and he did everything he possibly could. Gave his life and shed his blood that you and I could make heaven. And I'm thankful for that this afternoon. And I'm thankful how much more valuable that is than a penny. Even though I'd like to have one. Probably will never have one. But I can have the truth. Yes. And the truth is rare. And it's getting more rare all the time. There's more and more people that have less and less of the truth. And that love less and less of the truth. You and I are blessed this afternoon to have the truth. We are blessed to know the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's the truth that set us free. It isn't error. It isn't wrong. But it's the truth that set us free. And I'm thankful for that today. I'd like to read a scripture in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul started off saying, I therefore, The prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. The teacher in Sunday school this morning basically told us that the doctrines and truths was about the same thing. He said for us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Another place the scripture tells us many are called, but few are chosen. We've been called this afternoon and we've been chosen to be God's people, and we can only continue to be God's people if we hold up the truth. The only way that we can continue on in knowing the Lord and understanding the Lord and the things of God is that we stay with the truth. So Paul said, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You and I have a responsibility in upholding this truth. You and I have a responsibility to keep it pure, to keep it right. And I'm not talking about just a responsibility by the words that we speak, but the responsibility we have by the life that we live. He said to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The Lord has called us. He came to save us, that's true. And I'm thankful to be saved. But He would desire to do more with you and I than just save us. He would desire to use us, to work with us. He would desire you and I to be a blessing to others and help win other souls to Christ. Now, when I read this scripture, I think back many years ago to my own life and the time when the Lord worked it out for me to get an apprenticeship at General Motors. And I'd like to just mention that when you get an apprenticeship at General Motors, there's two ways of going about it. You work on the job and you get on the job training, and then once a week you go to a school, a public school, and you learn about your trade. You have the option of doing what is right with your trade. You have the option of learning to the best of your ability to be the best that you possibly can with what you are getting ready to do. Not everyone took advantage of that. I learned down through the years as a millwright. I learned down through the years there were some that just took this position or took this skilled trades job in order to make more money. That was what their main interest was. Well, we all wanted to make more money, but there was an obligation that we had to the one that hired us, the one that gave us that apprenticeship, the one that gave us the opportunity. Lord, help us this afternoon. We have an obligation to the one that gave us this truth, this valuable truth. We have an obligation to our Lord and Savior that we will handle this truth in a way that would be pleasing in His sight. You know, I could go to work, and I did work with people that basically came to work, and they went through the motions of doing their job. They wasn't really very good at their job. They didn't learn it very well. It wasn't really all that important to them. Just wanted to get through the day. You know, that's not the way the Lord wants you and I to look at this vocation that He's given us. He wants us to, if I can use the old expression, put your nose to the grindstone. Get down there and get on your knees before the Lord and get everything that you can get from God to help you along life's way. It isn't just that I want to just make it by the skin of my teeth, but I want to make it with all the grace that God can give me and all the grace that God can help me. I want to make it, and I want to do the best that I possibly can. I may not be able to do it as good as you. You may not be able to do as good as someone else, but I want to do as good as the best that I possibly can. I want to be the best that I can be. I don't want to just show up for work. But I want to glorify God with my life. I want to honor Him. See, this is precious. It's valuable. And how I respond to that, folks, it's how I'm living and how I respond to that that lifts Him up and lets Him know. Not just the people around us know, but lets God know how much we really do appreciate what He has given us. Because He has given us eternal life. And we really should appreciate it very much. To live in this kingdom that you and I live in, I talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of truth and righteousness. It's going to cost us some things. It's going to cost us, and I want to talk about some things that's going to cost us. May the Lord help us to understand and realize, first of all, it's going to cost us those things that are near and important and near to each and every one of us. It's going to cost us. And I'll read some of that scripture in a little bit. Well, let's go over there now. Let's go over to Luke, the 14th chapter, and see what Jesus said. And then we have some things we'd like to say, if we're able. He says in Luke 14 and 25, "And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters." Now this word hate means love less. We're not to hate anybody. We know that. But it means to love not his, to love his father less, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters. In other words, Christ first. Christ first and foremost. "Yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples." You know, I think about when Jesus was walking the shores of Galilee and starting his ministry. He called upon a few of the fellows out there that was fishing, and he says, "Take up your nets and come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." His word is all they had to go on. Do you know that? They didn't know. I mean, they probably had heard about Him, but they didn't know much about Jesus yet at this time. But at His word, at His commandment, He said, "Take up your nets and I'll come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And they did that. They stepped out on faith at His word. They left their nets. They came and they followed Him, and He had a great work for them to do in their later life. Because they followed Him. Now He said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now listen to this. "For which of you building, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first, consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, he cannot be my disciple." What Jesus is doing here, He is addressing for you and I the cost of holy living. Yes. Holy living. This is what it's going to take. You want to live a holy life? You're going to do struggling. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to face trials. You're going to face tests. But do you want to live a holy life? This is how you're going to live it. Is you're going to take up His cross. He's telling you and I that it's going to take a consecration. We're going to have to consecrate. We're going to have to give it all to Him. Those things that are dear to me, that are important to me. And there's things that are important to every one of us, and I'm not saying that He's going to require every one of those things. But I'm saying what He requires, we must say in our hearts, Lord, it's yours, if the Lord requires it. Consecration must be considered as we read what He has to say. He said, which of you intending to build a tower, and that's not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Folks, this is just the way it is. It brings a great reproach upon the cause of God when someone starts out serving the Lord and living for the Lord and they don't finish the race. It brings a reproach. It hurts the church. It hurts the congregation. It hurts the people around you. You don't live unto yourself. You gotta be faithful to go all the way and serve the Lord to all that you know and understand, and you gotta sit down whenever the Lord saves you, and you gotta sit down and you gotta know, what's it gonna take for me to run this way, race with victory? What's it gonna take for me to overcome? What am I gonna have to give up? Where's my affections gonna be? What's my eyes gonna be looking at as I make my way down the path and all these troubles come against me and the devil fights me over here and he fights me over there? Am I going to be able to finish this and not bring a reproach upon the cause of God? See, it's valuable. The cause of God is valuable. Christ gave his life for it. You know, this is not a penny. There's something more valuable than what that penny is. It's the life of Christ. And he gave his life for you and I. You and I, it says here, us happily after he hath laid the foundation, not able to finish it. But he talks about another place here, setteth down, intending to build a tower, setteth down, and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Folks, forsake. Forsake means to renounce or to give up. The Lord's telling us here, he tells us here to forsake. He said, so likewise ye, here it is, whatsoever he be of you, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be. He cannot be my disciples. Those fellows, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the fellows that he called Philip, and those fellows that was out there fishing and so forth and doing their thing, if they hadn't have forsook all and followed him, we would not see the success that they had. But they forsook all at his word. That's all they had to go by. I can't stress that enough, folks. It's the value of truth. It's valuable at his word. They forsook all and they followed him. It means that there must be a separation from anything that would hinder your walk with the Lord. Walk worthy of the vocation wherein that you have been called. Walk worthy of that vocation. Give up anything. Cast away anything that would hinder you from your walk with him. Our personal relationships, our goals that we have for life, our desires, and our own self. He said, even your own self also. Boy, that puts self on the altar, doesn't it? It brings you and I down to a humble place. God's people are people of humility, folks. We are a people that are humble. We are a people that will listen to God. We are a people that will hear his truth and accept it and receive it into our hearts and lives and put it in practice when we go out of this place. It's living it when we go out of here and what is important. We might get it while we're in here, but it's living it when we go out there. That's our mission field out there, when we go through those doors. Our personal relationships, our goals, things that are important to us, and our own self, even your possessions. It all belongs to the Lord. The Lord addressed every one of those things. He told us to not lay up your treasures here on earth where thieves and moth Moths get in and kill. Rust gets in and kills. But to lay them up in heaven where there is no thief, there is no moth, those things can't happen to your treasures up there. Put your treasures up there. We, the disciples, you're a disciple. I'm a disciple. We're disciples of the Lord. We must live in constant readiness to put every means that we have, everything that we are, at His disposal. Put it at His disposal. Give it to Him. Consecrate it to Him. Submit it to Him. Turn it over to Him. Let it be His will and His work in your life. You know, in order to do that, it's going to take some things. And I want to talk about some of that, some of those things. But it's going to cost our commitment to the Lord. It's going to cost our willingness to be flexible. It's going to cost us not to be afraid to dive in. And just trust the Lord fully and completely for what He has for you and I. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to just dive in, so to speak. Say, Lord, whatever Your will is, whatever You want, I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow You and my own life also. I've counted the cost. I've counted what it's going to take. I don't know the things that are going to happen tomorrow. I don't know the things that I may face next year. But I've counted the cost and I've settled it in my heart. And I'm committed to the fact that there is no other option but to trust You. Because who can handle it any better than He can? We already heard that today, didn't we? Who can handle our lives any better than He can? But there are some things that we can do. And there are some things that we ought to have in place. I'd like to speak to some of them if I could. My commitments to the Lord. It's going to call for me to have an extravagant love for God. Not just a love, but an extravagant love. A love that motivates me. That causes me to be successful in my walk with the Lord. A love that says, Lord, I love You more than these. Do You love me more than these? He said to Peter, I love You more than these. I'm going to follow You wherever You lead me and wherever You take me. I'm going to have to be willing as the one woman that came to the Lord before He went to the cross. And I'm going to have to be willing to break the alabaster box. I'm going to have to be willing to let that ointment pour out. And let that ointment be a blessing in my life. Not only to me, but to others. So it's going to cause for extravagant love. My commitment to the Lord is going to require a vision, folks. Lord, help us today. It seems like the more wicked that the world becomes, the less and less of a vision that people have of what the truth really is. The truth is valuable. Don't forget that. Love the truth with all of your heart. Love it more. Love it today and love it more tomorrow. Because it's so valuable to you. It's Christ. And He's valuable to you. But we must have a vision. When I think about the children of Israel, when they were getting ready to go over to the promised land, and they sent Joshua and Caleb along with the 10 other fellows. Those fellows, 10 other fellows, they didn't have a vision. All they saw was material things. All they saw was the worldly things. All they saw was the giants. All they saw was the fenced cities. We can't take them. It's too much for us. God already said, I'm going to give it to you. These fellows went over there with a heart and a mindset and said, the Lord's going to give us this thing. It doesn't matter about the giants. It doesn't matter about the walled cities. It doesn't matter about that person over there. It doesn't matter about that person over there. It doesn't matter about people. Folks, don't let your vision be looking at people. Because people will discourage you. People will cause you to get down. Better keep your eyes on Jesus. We've got to be able to see beyond the majority. We've got to be able to see beyond what other people are looking at. You know, sometimes, well, for instance, if you go to a doctor, I haven't been to a doctor, I couldn't tell you when. But I know that when you go to a doctor, maybe you got a problem, they'll tell you what your problem is, and you got to do this or that or that or the other, or you're not going to live, maybe. Maybe it's cancer, maybe it's whatever. But folks, when they make those prognoses, they do it without God. They don't have God involved. Saints, you and I have forsaken all to follow God. So now I don't have any other doctor but God. Now I don't trust any other doctor but God. Now I don't see any other doctor but God. That's all I see. So I don't need that anymore, do I? I've given up all. I've committed all to follow the Lord. So He's my all in all. He's everything to me. Whatever I need, He will supply it. He promised He would. And I know He won't go back on His promise. He won't do that for us. It's going to take a determination. You know, you hear messages, you can hear them on determination. You hear them on different specific things. But I want to put some things together here, and I want us to realize and to know and understand we've got to be committed to this thing. We've got to be sure that we've counted the cost. We've got to be sure that we're able to finish what we started. Because we trust God. A determination is a decision to hang tough in the hard times. When you get that call at night, you say, "Brother Larry, I got a sick child. Brother Larry, would you come and pray for him? We got to get it. We're in a battle here. We got to pray for him." Who else are you going to turn to? We're going to come together and we're going to call on God. He's our healer, isn't He? He's our all in all, isn't He? A determination to hang tough. A willing to suffer. A willing to sacrifice. He said, except we give up all and follow Him, He be of you that forsake not all that He hath. He cannot be my disciples. Well, I realize, you know, someone told me one time, said we might get together and we might read the Bible and thump the Bible for a while, but we still go out and we live life. And I understand that. We still go out and we live life. But as we live our lives, we better be sure that we have our priorities in place. Priorities is another thing that goes with commitment. Priority. Determining what comes first. Determining who comes first. Can I say, determining who comes first? Determining what He wants done in my life. He said, as we heard today, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. I'm not to worry about all these other things, but just my part, my determination and my priority is to seek God. Put Him first in my life. I must get it in order. I must get it in order. I want to look at this scripture. I don't even have this written down, but it's coming to my mind, so I want to turn to it. It's found over here in Romans. And I pray this will be an encouragement to us. In Romans, the 8th chapter, what shall we say? Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to talk about some of the who's of the devil. There are who's of the devil, you know. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you know anybody else that can give you anything He wants to give you? God can. God can. He does. He will. He'll give you just what you need. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, nay, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? Saints, are we determined today? We got it settled in our hearts, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. This thing, brother said, it goes even beyond conviction. It goes beyond a belief that you believe this is absolutely true. Back in 2001, 17 years ago, there were several men that got in planes and they were told the night before, you, God's going to do this and God's going to do that and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And after you do it, there's virgins waiting for you over there and on the other side and all this. They believed what they heard. They acted on what they heard. They gave their life for what they heard. Saints, may the Lord help us. As saints of God, as His people, we will be willing to give our lives for what we hear. He went on to say, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. For thy sake. For the Lord's sake. Can you say that in your heart today? Oh, that's a hard saying. I understand that. That's a hard place. But folks, totally committed to God, committed to His will, to His purpose for you. He said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Now, you know, we don't have right now. We're not experiencing quite a few of those. But we do experience tribulation. We do experience distress. We get pretty distressed. You know why you get distressed? Because you're not looking at the right place. You're not looking at the right one. I realize there are serious things that happen, but folks, God's on His throne. And I must believe that. And I must accept that with all my heart. If I'm going to live for the Lord, if I'm going to trust Him. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things present, or things to come. He's persuaded. Lord, help us to keep persuaded in our own hearts. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of these things. You think about the Apostle Paul, was mentioned to me the other day, when he called the brethren over there, and he gave them a little talking to, and he says he was going to go to Rome. And he told him, he says, I don't know what's going to befall me there. We could turn over and read, it's the 20th chapter of Acts. But he said, I don't know what's going to befall me there. I don't know what I'm going to face. Folks, we don't know tomorrow. I went to bed on Sunday just feeling just fine and woke up on Monday with a stroke. That's how quickly it happens. That's how quickly life happens, folks. Well, it happens. It happens. And you throw up your hands and you say, why me? Well, you need to throw up your hands and say, why not me? Somebody's got to be willing to sacrifice. Somebody's got to be willing to go through the trial. Somebody's got to be willing to go through the distresses of life for the Savior. For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. For thy sake. Wow, that's going to take something to get to that place, isn't it? No other creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You think about it. Spend some time when you're alone. You have an opportunity to just meditate and dwell on things. What would you let separate you from the love of God? For the love of Christ. Because let me tell you this, the devil knows what it is. If there's something there that will separate you, the devil knows where it is. And the devil knows how to find it. and he knows how to use it to our detriment, if you will. Not everyone that started out along this way has made it. There's some people that's got sidetracked. There's some people that's lost out with God. May the Lord help us today that we be faithful and true and determined to get our priorities straight with God, to be everything God would have us to be. Accountability. We're accountable to someone. We're accountable to people right here. But we're accountable to God. We're accountable to our integrity. We're committed to the truth no matter how much it crosses us. No matter how much it hurts. I'm committed to the truth. Lord, it's truth that I want. Even the Apostle Paul said, speak the truth in love. You put the truth together with love, and folks, the Lord will bless your soul. You take the word, the Bible said, Paul also said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I thank God for the Spirit, don't you? I'm committed to that. I want to do what is right. I prayed for years, and I still pray it once in a while. Lord, help me to do right even if I don't understand what right is. I want to do right. Lord, you know my heart. I want to be what I say I am. I want to be faithful. I'm committed to you, Lord. I've counted the cost, and I know it's going to be costly. And I know I'm going to have to suffer. And I know I'm going to have to face some things. But Lord, it's you I want. It's you I want. Teachability. Teachability. May the Lord help us to be teachable. Have a willingness to learn. Quick to hear and respond to reproof. Open to counsel. Didn't Paul or James say easily to be entreated? Oh, I don't even want to think about some of the things that's happened in the past. Come up against some people that claim to be saints, and you go talking to them about some things, and boy, they rear up and they come firing right back. Not easily entreated at all. But they're full of pride, and they're full of self, and they want to have their own way. Lord, help us. God's people are a humble people, folks. To this man will I look, to him that is broken and of a contrite spirit. That's the man that he's going to look to. A broken and a contrite spirit. So may the Lord help us to be open and quick to hear, to respond to reproof, open to counsel. Someone that has prayed about it, someone that sought the Lord, and the Lord's given direction, and they've come up and treating you as a brother or a sister, and they want to counsel you on something, and they want to give you the reason why, you should be able to accept that counsel, receive that counsel, and go home and pray over it. Go home and pray over it. See what the Lord would have you to do. Lord, help you and I. We're committed to the Lord that we'll always be available. Availability. That we'll always be available to you, Lord. Whatever you want us to do. That we'll always be available to one another as best that we can. That we'll be accessible. That we'll be touchable. That we'll be able to be interrupted. I've said for years, I don't want to be someone that someone says, well, I'm afraid to go talk to Brother Abbott because he's a preacher. That don't mean a hill of beans, folks. A preacher is a servant. And he's someone you can talk to. You should be able to approach him. You should be able to talk to him, and you should be able to tell him your problems. Someone that's able to be interrupted. Someone that's willing to give of themselves. you know, 99% of the time, I'd say, maybe that's a little high, but most of what people want is your time. You know, I get phone calls, heavy burdens, heavy loads, and the people just go on and on and on and on, and I just listen. When they get done, they say, thank you for listening. I just needed to tell somebody. Just thank you for listening. I don't even need any counsel. I don't need any great words of wisdom, but thanks for listening. People have a lot of heartaches. As we heard, life is not even. Some people have hard things, some harder than others, to bear and to deal with. This one here, don't freeze up on me, but we've got to be vulnerable. If we're going to commit to the Lord, and we're giving our life to the Lord, and we're forsaking all that we have, we've got to be vulnerable. Our precious Lord and our Savior, He allowed those men to put the nails in His hands and in His feet and hang up there on a cross. He allowed Himself to be vulnerable to them. He gave Himself unto His own enemies. And He submitted to that. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Capable of being wounded. Capable of bearing up burdens, as we heard this morning, that you're not even guilty of, but you bear it. You bear it in the name of the Lord and in the fear of God. An ability and vulnerability shown to be able to be wrong. Well, brother, I think he was a little wrong there. I think he was off. Well, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. See what the Lord has to say. Vulnerability brings about a transparency between you and I. I preached this a little bit, some of this, years ago out in California. And I had someone come to me after service and ask me a question. And it was a question about them. And I hemmed and hawed and did everything I could, didn't want to say anything. And they stuck their finger right there in my face and said, brother, you just preached it. We are to be transparent. We are to try to help one another along life's way. We're to try to help one another. Sometimes it takes a transparency or admitting before there's a confrontation. The Bible says in His humiliation, His judgment was taken away. I want to look at a scripture before I close. Over in Peter, there's something that is really bothering me. It seems like it's been on my mind a lot. But I want to look at 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. And it's a very familiar verse. Folks, this is where the Lord wants us to live. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Well, let me get to it. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Okay. Beloved. That's us. Thank the Lord, that's us. I love the truth. I'm His beloved. I'm His child. He cares for me. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know, what's on my heart, I wish I could say it the way that I feel it. But saints, let's live our lives in such a way that we do not hinder God's grace for helping us in time of need. Let's not live close to the world. Let's not live close to things. Let's not make them our object of affection. But let's live close to God, that when I find myself, I get news about myself, I get whatever it is that I find myself falling into, that I do not hinder the grace of God working for me. I don't want to cry out to the saints, say, oh, pray for me, I got this problem, I got that problem, and no, I haven't been living the way I ought to live. See what I'm trying to say? No, I'm not, haven't been, not there. You're going to have to pray for me because I can't pray for myself. Beloved, think it not strange. These fiery trials, folks, they've been coming around for years, long before you and I. Yet they come around for you and I too, don't they? As though some strange thing happened. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad and also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Isn't that really what our duty is? Isn't that really what our responsibility is, to glorify God in all that we do, in all of our responses, how we respond to the truth? It is so valuable to us. We get up every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we speak of the truth. We speak of the truth. Folks, it's valuable. It's important to us. It's needful. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come. I don't know of any other time, but I know it's high time. It's now time for you and I to get real serious about our walk with the Lord. I'm not up here trying to tell you people, you folks, that you're not serious about it. I'm just reminding you, now is the time. We got to get real serious. The time has come that judgment must begin where? It's going to begin with the church. We're going to be purified. We're going to be tried. We're going to be made white. He said that over in Daniel when he was talking about the church. We're going to be made up of those things. May the Lord help us to be living in a place that when those things come along to try us, the distresses, the tribulations of the enemy, that we'll be in a place that we can pray for ourselves and that we'll be worthy of the grace that Christ has for us. I don't want to block his grace in my life. I want every bit of the grace I can get. I live by the grace of God. And if it first began with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God. You know, when Jesus told us there, count up the cost. Be sure that you're able to build it. Be sure you're able to go out and meet the army. When he told us to count up the cost and be sure that we're able to do these things, and then he comes along and says, suffer according to his will. Folks, when we meet the conditions that he set down for us in the Word of God, we can suffer according to his will because we trust him fully, completely. We're consecrated to him in all things and in all ways. Be able to live a holy life before him. Commit the keeping of our souls, their souls, to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I want to read one more. If I could, it's here close. 12th chapter of Hebrews. Lord, help us. Paul said, walk worthy of the vocation that you've been called. Not just happenstance. Just don't be casual about it. But walk worthy. So when the needs arise, and we need him every day, that we're worthy to have his grace minister to us. He told Paul his grace was sufficient. Oh, I got this thorn in the flesh. You got a thorn in the flesh? It could be anything. But he said his grace was sufficient. His grace will help you, bring you through. If we'll trust him, put ourselves on that altar. But on the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I wish I could get my pages right. 12th chapter of Hebrews in the 28th verse. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. This thing cannot be moved. What you and I are enjoying today. You can be moved. I can be moved. If I'm not dedicated to the proposition, Abraham Lincoln said, if I'm not dedicated to God and to what his will and purpose in my life, I can be moved. I can have some come and knock my feet right out from under me. I could be moved. But he said, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Folks, my life, our life, is built on a rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. It's unmovable. It's solid. The devil can't take it down. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. It's solid. It's rock solid. It's unmovable. Our doctrines, our standards of holiness, of purity, they're all in place and the devil can't move them. You can move them. I can move them. We're committed, aren't we? We're committed to whatever your will is, Lord. I want your will to be done. We have to be just like our Savior. We're certainly not better than the Lord. When he went out there and prayed 3 times, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't want to do this either. This old flesh that I lived in at the time, he didn't want to do it either. But he got the grace and he got the victory. And then he prayed that prayer for you and me, where he said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified. He brought himself to the place where he was willing to go to the cross. Physically lay on the cross and give that life that he had for you and I. That we could have the hope that we have today. I am so thankful. I am eternally grateful. I was raised in a home where my parents took me to hear this truth. I heard the Gibsons. I heard the Allens. I heard the Keys and so many others, the Stovers. All folks you don't even know. I heard them come through when I was a little boy preaching to me. You know what they was preaching? Same thing we're preaching today. The truth. It'll never decay. And the devil will never overthrow it. I thank God for the truth today. You pray for me.